If you have a Bible, could you please turn to Mark 15, verse 42? It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples, Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Thanks, Juliet. And good morning, everyone. Happy Easter and welcome along this morning. It's great to be with you. Special welcome if you're visiting with us this morning for our special Easter Sunday gathering. It's great to have you along. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's really great to be spending our Easter together. I want you to imagine for a moment that you were there on that very first Easter, 2,000 years ago. You saw as Jesus died on the cross, as we heard about on Good Friday. But then 3 days later, you saw him risen, alive, back to life from the grave. Now, if you were going to write a book about all these amazing things that you saw, do you reckon you would have ended it where that Bible reading ended? If you've got a Bible, it'd be great to keep it open to Mark chapter 16 if you've got one or on a phone. And if you've got one open in front of you, you've probably noticed there's a little bit more writing that happens after verse 8. But then there's also a note there saying that these verses didn't appear in the earliest versions. And so it's generally assumed that the passage is meant to finish where we finished our reading just then at the end of verse 8, which seems a little bit anticlimactic, doesn't it? You know, if Jesus has really risen, then why doesn't Mark tell us about people seeing him alive? The tears, the hugs, the joyful disbelief. The other three gospel accounts of Jesus' life that we have in our Bibles, they all record people seeing Jesus alive after he rose, touching him, talking with him, but not Mark. Should this cause us to doubt whether Jesus really did rise from the dead? Well, I want us to see this morning that this ending actually ties up Mark's gospel in a very appropriate way. And in doing that, it gives each of us a lot to think about, whatever your worldview is right now. There are three things in this passage that Mark is showing us. And the first thing he wants us to see is that Jesus is definitely dead. If you were with us a couple of days ago on Good Friday, we heard about how Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross and died. And then we picked things up this morning at the end of chapter 15 with this guy called Joseph of Arimathea who goes up to Pilate. Pilate is the Roman governor who ordered for Jesus' execution. And Joseph asks him for Jesus' body. Pilate gives him the body, says yes. But notice there in verse 44, he only says that after summoning the centurion who was overseeing the execution to make sure that Jesus was really dead. Now, a Roman centurion who executes people every day for a living is going to have a pretty good idea of working out whether someone's dead or not. So this really is the ancient equivalent of a medical certificate that we've got here. And there's a few things to see here. Firstly, the courage that Joseph shows in this moment. Now, asking for the body of a crucified criminal, that went against Roman customs. You weren't supposed to do that. But also, Mark tells us that Joseph was a prominent member of the Jewish council. This was the same council that had just managed to get Jesus killed. And so he's putting his reputation in serious jeopardy here by identifying with Jesus in this way. Second significant thing going on here is there's a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy here. The prophet Isaiah had written about a suffering servant who was going to be pierced for our sins, punished to bring us peace. And that after he died, he would be assigned a grave with the rich in his death. And this prophecy, which was made 700 years ago, it's coming true right here. Despite dying like a criminal, Jesus is laid in the tomb of a rich man. Which is also important because it shows us that people knew where he was buried. His body wasn't just tossed into an unmarked grave somewhere. It was placed in a prominent tomb that people knew about. So Joseph certainly knew about it. And then verse 47, we read that these two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, they also saw where he was laid. So Mark wants us to be crystal clear about both of these things, that Jesus is definitely dead and his body is placed in a known and secure location. And the next thing Mark wants us to see is that Jesus is really risen. Mary Magdalene, one of these women who watched Jesus die and saw where he was buried, she goes with two other women in the start of chapter 16 there to anoint Jesus' body with spices. And now this is just after sunrise. It's on the third day after Jesus dies. They arrive at the tomb and they see that the heavy stone that had been rolled there, that had been put there, has been rolled away. They go into the tomb, but they don't find Jesus' body like they were expecting to. They find a young man dressed in white, an angel, who says to them, verse 6, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." You're looking for the dead body of some ordinary guy from Nazareth. You're not going to find it here, because Jesus is alive, just as he promised. If you've got a Bible open, if you flick back a page or two to chapter 14, verse 28, we see that this is exactly what Jesus promised before he died. He says to his disciples, "After I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And of course, it's in the very next verse after that that Peter makes his big promise that he's going to stand by Jesus. He's not going to abandon him. A promise that he breaks just a few hours later. But notice here in chapter 16, the angel specifically mentions Peter by name as if to tell him, "It's okay. It's okay, Peter." And Mark's gospel then apparently ends in verse 8 with the women trembling, bewildered, fleeing the tomb, saying nothing to anyone. Now we know from the other gospel accounts that eventually they did tell the disciples what they saw. That Peter and John, two of the disciples, went there and they saw the empty tomb. And that Jesus himself appeared to the women, to the disciples, and to a number of other people as well. Which makes us wonder, why would Mark finish here? Maybe those final verses are actually written by Mark from verse 9 to verse 20. At first glance, they seem to bring it to a bit more of a satisfying ending. But then the language is quite different to the rest of the book. And the earliest copies don't include it, which makes it quite unlikely that Mark did actually write it. Now, some people think that Mark did write a little bit more, but it got lost. We don't have the full ending to it. Which could be right, but there's no real evidence to back that up. Or perhaps verse 8 was where Mark intended to finish. Now, Mark was the first of the four Gospels to be written, and there would have been lots of eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection who were still alive and still around at the time that he wrote it. So Mark wouldn't necessarily have felt the need to highlight all of the evidence for it. But even still, there's strong evidence for the resurrection here, even without Jesus appearing. We can be sure, just from reading this, that Jesus' dead body was placed in a tomb. That they couldn't possibly have gone to the wrong tomb because they knew where it was. There was no reason for anyone to steal the body. There was nothing that anyone could have gained by stealing the body. And in a culture where women's testimony wasn't accepted in court as being valid, there's just no way that Mark would have mentioned female eyewitnesses if he was trying to make up a story and to get people to believe it in his day. So all of the evidence that we've got here really points to what the angel declares, that Jesus is risen. And this announcement brings Mark's gospel to an appropriate conclusion, because it shows us that Jesus is real. By which I mean it confirms the picture of Jesus' identity and his mission that Mark has spent 16 chapters building up to. Three times in Mark's gospel, we've heard Jesus specifically tell his disciples, "I'm going to die and rise back to life." Chapter 8, he began to teach them that the Son of Man, so Jesus, must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers, that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Chapter 9, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him and after 3 days he will rise. Chapter 10, the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They'll condemn him to death. They'll hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. So everything that Mark is showing us about Jesus is tied to this promise that Jesus repeatedly makes, that he's going to die and be raised back to life after 3 days. Or to put it another way, the resurrection confirms the truth of everything that's been revealed about Jesus and his mission right throughout Mark's gospel. He really is God's promised king who's come to bring God's promised kingdom. He really does have authority to forgive our sins, to make us right with God, to take away our guilt. He really can offer true healing and bring true cleansing. He really is coming back one day to set things right, to undo everything that's wrong with our world. And those who lose their life for him in this lifetime really will save it for all eternity. There'll be an eternity to come that's better than we can ever imagine. And those who receive his kingdom with the trust and the dependence of a little child really will enter it. Can you see, it really does make all the difference that Jesus rose. We're even told a little bit later on in the Bible that if Jesus has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. So in other words, Christianity stands or falls on the resurrection. It stands or falls on Jesus rising from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise, then it's all a lie. It's useless. But if he did rise, well, it matters for all of us. If you're someone who follows Jesus, then you know that following Jesus isn't always easy, is it? It can be discouraging at times. We can find ourselves having doubts. We can wonder why it is that God lets certain things happen. And in those times, the resurrection, it can give us a confidence that goes beyond our circumstances. It reminds us that our faith, it's not just wishful thinking. It's grounded in a real historical event. As the Apostle Peter declares, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead has given us new birth into a living hope, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, if you're not sure about Jesus yet, if you're here just visiting with a friend or checking out what church and Christianity is all about, well, perhaps the reason that Mark finishes his gospel with the response of the women here is to ask, how will you respond? How will you respond? How will you respond to this news and evidence of the resurrection? How will you respond to Jesus? We're told a little bit later on in the Bible that God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man that he's appointed. That he's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So if Jesus has risen, it's not just an amazing historical event. It's also a future promise of judgment. That everyone will be held accountable for how they respond to Jesus' resurrection. We can't ignore it. If this is all a bit new for you, or you need a little bit more convincing, then you're welcome to grab a copy of Mark's Gospel from the back table as you head out today. Have a read and see what you think about Jesus. See what you think about what Mark shows us about Jesus' identity and his mission. We've also got copies of this little book as well. This is a book that tells the Easter story from a little bit of a different angle. It's a very, very short one, probably takes about 10 minutes or so to read. Just helps us to kind of understand Easter and see what it means for us today. We've also got invites to our upcoming life course as well. This is something that kicks off in a couple of Mondays' time on the 5th of May. It's a really great chance to come along and to explore the claims that the Bible makes about Jesus in depth, to be able to ask all the questions that you've got or just come along and take it all in and decide for yourself what it is that you think about Jesus. On the third night of our life course, we actually do a deep dive into the resurrection. We look at all of the evidence for and against it and we really dive deep into what it means if it's true. We'd love to have you come along to that if you're wanting to explore more about who Jesus is and what Easter is all about and find out whether there could be something more to Easter than just public holidays and chocolate. Let me pray for us now. God, we thank you that Jesus not only died to save us, but that he was raised back to life as well. And we thank you that death has been defeated, that we have a hope that goes beyond the grave. We thank you that everything that we see about Jesus, everything that we see about his mission, everything that we see about who he is, that it's proven by his resurrection. We ask that you'd help us to take this news to heart, that we would be encouraged or challenged as we need to be, that you'd help us to live in light of the truth that Jesus really is alive, that he is risen. Amen.